take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man.
Well, on the earth.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokens and tokens and all toking lovers of liberty. It is Monday, April 11th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us. So glad you could be here. Get my microphone dialed in. Make sure you can all hear me. Another great week, and this begins what is going to be a very busy next 6 weeks or so for the Russ Belville Show. Stayed up late last night getting all the flights booked between now and June, and I won't be back here in beautiful legal potland, Oregon, for about 6 weeks. I'll be completely on the road, and I hope you'll join me as I bring you live coverage of so many great events coming up on my calendar. We've got the NCIA Oregon Caucus tomorrow. I'll be checking out Wednesday, Blazers versus Nugs. Thursday, flying to Washington, D.C. Friday and Saturday, the SSDP conference in Washington, D.C. Sunday and Monday, tabling in New York City at the Mark Kleiman Summit. Tuesday through Thursday over the 420 holiday there, the United Nations General Assembly in New York. Friday, I hope to make a visit to the headquarters of High Times Magazine. Saturday, get on a train, or get on a plane back to Oregon for Sunday, the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference, Tommy Chong, Dr. Carl Hart. Monday, make my way to Raleigh, North Carolina for the Unity Torch, going from North Carolina to South Carolina to Atlanta, Georgia. The following week, Sunday, May 1st, Miami, Florida. We'll spend a week in Miami. That weekend, the Global Cannabis March in Fort Worth, Texas. Then back to Florida for the Orlando Medical Marijuana Business Conference. And then flying up to Alaska for the Northwest Cannabis Classic in Anchorage. And then Monday, May 16th, I'll finally be back here in beautiful legal potland, Oregon. Only for a few days, though, because then I fly out to Washington, D.C. for the normal legislative fly-in and conference, and then the following week is the Aspen Legal Seminar. So that's June before we get to that Aspen seminar. Like I said, lots happening, and I sure hope you can be a part of this. We're going to bring this to you free here on CannabisRadio.com live, 3 p.m. Pacific time every weekday, except the weekdays that I'm on a plane. Can't broadcast from the plane. People don't like it when I do that. Even though there's Wi-Fi, I technically could do it. I could pull it off, I think. But we got a lot of stuff going on, and if you want to help support this independent marijuana journalism, please make a donation through my PayPal account. I'm Russ at RadicalRuss.com, and somewhere in my free time, amongst all of that, I'm doing the redesign of RadicalRuss.com. There'll be a new VIP section. I've got all sorts of really cool things I'm going to be giving to you in that VIP section. You old 420 Radio VIPs will be grandfathered in. You'll be the first VIPs. You'll be my beta testers. It'll be a lot of fun. Anyway, enough about me. Let's talk about the show today. All sorts of great stuff going on today's show. Dr. Mitch Earlywine joins us for our cannabis Q&A, and there's so many new studies out, one on diabetes, pregnancy, male infertility, the menstrual cramp story, and then, of course, the federal reclassification. We'll talk to Dr. Mitch about all of that coming up on today's show. Also, we'll have time for a radical rant where I ask the question, should non-cannabis smokers be in charge of regulating cannabis? A very disturbing trend in the legal states that we're going to take a look at the end of the first hour. Also, drug war data mining, we've got some polls in the United Kingdom on marijuana legalization. In Behind the Headlines, we hear from presidential candidate Ted Cruz, his position on marijuana legalization. And all that comes after the Cannabis Radio News. In the headlines today, we've got news from Rhode Island, from Colorado, Vermont, California, and Ohio. Then stay tuned. Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. You're the voice of the marijuana nation. Phone lines will be open at 971-533-7111. And we'll cover even more of the marijuana news. 2 hours, all for you, coming up next.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Thank you. keep your cannabis cravings under control. Feed your mind with CannabisRadio.com.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be. The Vuber way.
The smoke is rising, and the next crop of podcasts devoted to cannabis providers and enthusiasts are ready to be harvested.
Welcome to the Cannabis Radio Network,
founded by respected rainmakers who have been producing award-winning podcasts for over a decade. Industry headlines, business updates, medical reports, marketing, and e-commerce education rolled up perfectly for your consumption. Let's grow together. The Cannabis Radio Network. CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
And if standing for the Constitution make you a wackobird, then I am a very, very proud wackobird.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
With over 6 years of experience in the industry, New Era CPAs is one of the nation's leading cannabis accounting firms, helping hundreds of growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies with their tax, legal, and business strategies. New Era CPAs offices cover the West Coast from Seattle to San Diego, and their skilled team is always available to help you take your business to the next level. Visit NewEraCPAs.com for more info and set up a consultation. Welcome to the New Era.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Monday, April 11th, 2016. Providence, Rhode Island. The Rhode Island House Judiciary Committee is scheduled to hold a hearing Tuesday on a bill that would end marijuana prohibition in the state and replace it with a system in which adults can purchase marijuana from licensed businesses, similarly to alcohol. Shortly before the hearing, a marijuana market researchers, business owners, and entrepreneurs will join Regulate Rhode Island for a news conference to discuss the legislation's potential to foster new businesses and create thousands of jobs in Rhode Island. H. 7752, known as the Marijuana Regulation Control and Taxation Act, would make possession of limited amounts of marijuana legal for adults 21 years of age and older, and it would establish a tightly controlled system of licensed marijuana cultivation sites, testing facilities, and retail stores. Denver, Colorado. A new Colorado law allowing medical marijuana use at public schools is getting a second look Monday in a House committee. The current law allows students who need medical marijuana to use edible pot at public schools as long as the school districts agree. No school districts currently do agree, so patient advocates are pushing the bill to make Colorado the second state to require schools to allow nurses or parents to administer medical pot. New Jersey made the change last year. School officials say they're being unfairly asked to accommodate an activity that still runs afoul of federal law. This year's update, for example, gives schools no guidance for the possibility of a student grabbing a cannabis treatment away from a parent and rightful patient on a school bus and taking it themselves. The parents counter that medical marijuana shouldn't be treated any differently than Ritalin or other controlled substances that are routinely dispensed by school districts. Montpelier, Vermont. A Vermont marijuana legalization study was just called by a Vermont House committee. A House Judiciary Committee voted 6-5 for a commission to study legalization. It stripped out provisions expanding decriminalization, keeping those sections of Vermont law largely where they are. Critics say the House bill still goes too far because it calls for the study commission to propose a system to legalize, tax, and regulate marijuana. Under current law, possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana draws a civil fine, but not a criminal charge. Cultivation remains illegal. Earlier this year, the Senate passed a bill that legalizes possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana, but doesn't allow cultivation. Sacramento, California. The first head of California's new Bureau of Medical Marijuana Regulation has never used marijuana and doesn't know anyone who does. In an interview with the Los Angeles Times, newly appointed medical marijuana czar Lori Ajax, the former chief deputy director of the state's Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control, said, quote, "Unlike regulating alcohol, I'm not a user of marijuana, so I am not familiar with how that affects people or what it does. But from the outreach I've done since I've got here, it appears there is a medical need, and I'm tasked with doing this, and I'm going to do it," end quote. The Republican Ajax does not recall how she voted on the state's medical marijuana initiative, Prop 215, in 1996, and says she has no friends or relatives that use medical cannabis, saying, quote, "I have heard stories, of course, and through my meetings I've set up with industry groups and with legislators, I've heard stories of how it helped folks with cancer," end quote. Columbus, Ohio. Ohioans for Medical Marijuana announced Monday that it has formed a campaign team to support its initiative to establish a comprehensive medical marijuana program in Ohio. Brandon Linaw, a veteran of more than a dozen statewide ballot issue campaigns, will serve as campaign manager. Linaw most recently served as campaign manager for No on Issue 3, which led the effort to defeat the Responsible Ohio Marijuana Legalization Initiative last year. Linaw's support for establishing legal access to medical marijuana stems from his experience with a close family member who suffers from epilepsy. Ohioans for Medical Marijuana also announced the addition of Trevor Vessels as deputy campaign manager, Aaron Marshall as director of communications, and Lee Roberts as political director. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Monday, April 11th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
From dabs to chibas, sativas to indicas, we roll out a whole concentrate of fresh new content every week. It's like going from the greenhouse to the dispensary. CannabisRadio.com.
Northwest Alternative Health, Eugene's premier medical marijuana clinic, is proud to sponsor the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference. Are you prepared for the changes in the recreational and medical marijuana markets? The OMB presents the state's top industry experts, along with over 40 exhibitors, and features a keynote by Dr. Carl Hart. Also, tickets include a celebrity interview and private after party with the one and only Tommy Chong. Join us Sunday, April 24th at the downtown Eugene Hilton and be a part of Oregon's fastest growing industry. Check out OregonMBC.com for more details.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for marijuana sales to take place in regulated businesses
and stop taking place in our neighborhoods.
It's time to create rules for testing and labeling marijuana so that consumers can know what they're getting.
Prohibition has failed.
It's time for a more sensible approach.
Vermont is ready.
We're ready.
We're ready.
Vermont is ready.
It's time to end prohibition and regulate marijuana in Vermont.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Don't want to spend money on a night out, but don't know what to do other than watching TV or playing video games? Consider playing guitar, bass, banjo, or mandolin. The instrument will give you hours of entertainment with friends with minimal expense. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, we take a look again at the 2016 campaign for president. Usually we're talking about Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders on the Democratic side, and the difference between the two on marijuana is pretty stark. Bernie Sanders is completely for federal descheduling, end any federal care about marijuana and leave it up to the states, whereas Hillary Clinton supports a more federal approach to reschedule to Schedule II. But this time, we're going to take a look at the Republican side, where Ted Cruz has been gaining ground on Republican frontrunner Donald Trump, winning the last few Republican primaries. And we live in a very interesting time where all of the major candidates still left for the office of president support at least a states' rights version
of marijuana reform. That is, don't make it a federal issue. Let the states move forward with medical or recreational legalization. Ted Cruz is in Colorado, where he is fighting to win that state's primary or caucus. I'm not sure which they have there. But he told the ABC station, he was at the ABC station in Denver and left us with this interesting response when asked about Colorado's marijuana legalization. This is Ted Cruz speaking to ABC 7.
I'm a constitutionalist. I've spent most of my adult life fighting to defend the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And under the Constitution, under the 10th Amendment, most policy decisions are left for the states. When it comes to drug legalization, personally, I would vote against marijuana legalization. If the state of Texas had a referendum on it, I would vote no. But I think it is the prerogative of the states to make that determination. I think the people of Colorado have the right to make the decision that they've made under the Constitution. And as president, I would respect that right, that the people of Colorado have made a decision. Other states may make different decisions. And let me note, that's one of the biggest differences between liberals and conservatives. Liberals, big government liberals like Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, want Washington to decide a one-size-fits-all answer for every American. They try to force it on you, whether it's marijuana policy or whether it's health care, Obamacare, one-size-fits-all for everyone, or whether it's education, Common Core.
So it's a very revealing answer from Ted Cruz, and I think that marijuana legalizers, reform-minded people, should be very careful about embracing this response. I've heard a few that are like, wow, Ted Cruz supports states' rights for marijuana. This is great. Well, yeah, considering the context that we're talking about, Republicans are usually all for sending in the DEA and sending in the troops to, you know, bust people for weed. But listen to the end of that quote and how he's talking about education, Common Core, and he's talking about healthcare, Obamacare. This Republican embrace of states' rights when it comes to marijuana legalization, you've at least got to give it to them in that it's ideologically consistent with their view of the 10th Amendment, their view of states' rights versus federalism. But beware what that states' rights argument is also being used for. For the Republicans, the states' rights argument on marijuana is kind of a throwaway argument, because who are the states, which are the states that are going to embrace that? Like he said, if there was a referendum in Texas, he wouldn't vote for it. And he's probably pretty confident that Texas isn't going to vote for it anytime soon. So when the Republicans say things like that, they're thinking of the hippy-dippy liberal West Coast and the Northeast and maybe some of the Great Lakes states, but that their own states will be able to maintain their marijuana prohibition. And it's along that same line that they're using that 10th Amendment to deny women's right to choose, to set up these horrendous anti-LGBT laws in Mississippi and North Carolina, to set up this idea. They want to be consistent about this, to set up this idea that if the majority of the people in a state or the majority of a government in that state doesn't like something, they have the right to do it their own way. I'm kind of in the middle on this one. I do believe in a robust system of states' rights. In fact, I believe more in the Ninth Amendment than the Tenth Amendment. A lot of people forget the Ninth Amendment. It says those, just because it says the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights is not meant to deny or disparage others held by the people. And what it means, I always say it's the we couldn't write them all down amendment. It's like people have a lot of rights, a whole bunch of rights that they're inalienable. They're bestowed by the Creator, and we can't write them all down. You have the right to breathe air. You have the right to farm crops. You have the, you know, right to ride a bicycle or whatever it might be. Couldn't write them all down. The people have rights, even if they're not written down in the Constitution. And my belief is the right to medicine, the right to self-treatment, the right to do with your body what you choose are a few of those rights that aren't specifically written down, but certainly the people must have them. If we do not, we are not a free people. So I believe in states' rights. I believe in that to the extent we're talking about people regulating themselves. When we start talking about people regulating each other, that's where I start to lose ground with the Republicans on the states' rights argument. The argument that a state can force a woman to give birth, or the argument that a state can deny basic services to gay and lesbian people and transgender people, goes beyond what I would consider to be states' rights. That's starting to talk about state tyrannies, or where a state's right usurps an individual's right.
Look at yourself before you pass judgment.
That's good advice, Mr. President. Yeah, man, I think the Ninth Amendment supersedes the Tenth Amendment. I think the rights of the individuals, their civil rights, supersede the right of states to ignore or do things as they choose. We'll talk about it more in Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We can take your calls if you want to talk about Tenth Amendment and states' rights. But right now, it's 420 in Denver, Colorado, so let's get it on.
Legal to listen to all over the world.
We're just not sure about France.
CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestle trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
I hope everybody's got their vape pen handy or their pipe or their bong or whatever you use to do your medicine.
But you don't, it's not a requirement. You don't have to be high for this show.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
I don't know who you're talking to. You have to be high to do anything. At least I do. I don't know about you. In fact, I've been high so long that being straight is another high.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Christian convictions are under attack as never before.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everybody. Today in the Drug War Data Mines, we take a look at some polling data coming out of the United Kingdom, where marijuana legalization is struggling to reach majority status in support, whereas here in America, we've had since the past 5 years now, just poll after poll after poll shows majorities of Americans support marijuana legalization. When we take a look at the poll, this comes from the Orb, from ORB for the Independent. They surveyed 2,000 people in the UK, and they found that 47% of the public supports the legalization of cannabis sold through licensed retailers. The remainder, 39%, are opposed to legalization, and 14% say they don't know. That's pretty large don't know on the issue of legalizing cannabis, but it's good to see there's a plurality, 47 to 39, in support of market regulation. They did find the typical gender gap. Men support legalization in a majority, 53%. Women, 41% support, a 12-point gap, very similar to the 7 to 12-point gaps we find in U.S. polling between men and women. Social class, when it comes to the top income brackets, 50% support legalization, 44% in the lowest income bracket support legalization. The regional support is highest in Scotland, 58% of Scots supporting marijuana legalization. London area, 54%, northeast down just to 37%.
Liberal Democrats in the United Kingdom have been pushing a proposal to legalize cannabis. They believe it could raise £1 billion in revenue for the United Kingdom. They asked also whether or not possession of cannabis should be decriminalized. A third of people said that should happen. One third said cannabis should be decriminalized. 14% said that cannabis should be freely bought and sold. So that's breaking down that 47%. So of the 47 that should said it should be legal, only 14% total think that it should be market regulation, whereas 33% just decriminalized. You can still get a ticket for that. They also asked people whether or not they had tried marijuana, and they found that 31% had tried marijuana, and 15% had tried skunk. So, folks, let me just translate this for you. This means 48% of the people have tried marijuana. In the United Kingdom, they think of cannabis as two different drugs. They think of cannabis as any sort of cannabis that is lower in THC percentage, you know, 10% or lower, 15% or lower. And then they call skunk hydroponically grown, specially bred plants, or what we in America call marijuana, that's above 15% THC. And the British tabloids have, for years now, led a propaganda campaign against skunk, trying to scare the British public into thinking that it's not their father's Woodstock weed, or in their case, I don't know what's the equivalent for Woodstock in the UK. I'm not sure. But it has been more successful, a campaign in the UK, than it has been in America. The potency argument in America really hasn't gotten much traction until the introduction of dabs, and that now it's starting to get a little traction. In the UK, merely 15 or 20% THC bud has got these people freaking out. Now, they did ask people about other drugs as well. They asked whether or not tobacco should be legal to buy and sell. 70% said yes. And whether alcohol should be legal to buy and sell. 83% said yes. And in another poll back in last year, YouGov did a survey of British adults' perception of drugs and which drugs they thought were the most harmful and least harmful. This is also a very interesting point because of the case that marijuana, cannabis in the UK, is thought to be one of the least dangerous drugs, but alcohol is found to be less dangerous in the UK. It's amazing. You look at the graph that they've got put up here, and they organize this from the least harmful to the most harmful drug, at least according to the perceptions of people in the UK. And it runs from alcohol as being fairly safe, fairly or very safe. It's about split as far as safe versus unsafe. Cannabis, more people thought it was dangerous, about a 2-to-1 margin. Laughing gas, another about a 2-to-1 margin, thought it was dangerous. Magic mushrooms is about a 4-to-1 margin. Tobacco, about 5-to-1. Ketamine, ecstasy, LSD, methamphetamines, cocaine, and heroin was considered to be the most dangerous drug. This is very different from the results we get in surveys in the United States, where well over half the people understand that marijuana is safer than alcohol. That still has not sunk in to the people in the UK. And it would be our advice from across the pond that if they want to get people to support the legalization of cannabis in the UK, you've got to get them to understand that it is a safer substance than alcohol. And this may be a different sell in the UK. They have a whole different alcohol culture there with their pubs and beer and all the celebration they do around that. But the point will have to be made, because as long as the British public thinks that marijuana is more dangerous than alcohol, especially if they believe this so-called skunk is more dangerous than alcohol, it's going to be very difficult to win their hearts and minds over to the idea that it ought to be a legally bought and sold commodity. But we know there's great folks out there with Normal UK and the UK Cannabis Social Clubs that are educating people day after day. And the longer we continue to post great results from the legal states in America, it's only a matter of time before the United Kingdom follows along and does the sensible thing and ends cannabis prohibition for adults. Stay tuned. We got Dr. Mitch coming up next with Cannabis Q&A on the latest studies on marijuana when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Being green is good. Growing green is good. Making green is great. CannabisRadio.com.
Ganjapreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Ganjapreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Ganjapreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Ganjapreneur.com, helping Ganjapreneurs grow.
NARMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs. The Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, the National Wildlife Refuge for Marijuana Unicorns.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pens the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
Welcome back, everybody. 32 after the hour, we are joined by Dr. Mitch Earlywine in Albany. How you doing, Dr. Mitch?
Crazy day, but glad to be on the show.
Thanks for being here, and I hope you're not still buried under snow up there. Is it still all cold and wintry?
It's funny because it all melted right on the day of my daughter's bat mitzvah. So
oh,
they're just sweet.
Well, wonderful. So glad to hear that. We've got all sorts of stuff to talk about. We want to remind our listeners that we are live here on CannabisRadio.com. If you got a question for Dr. Mitch, the phone line is 971-533-7111. That's 971-533-7111. And if you've got a call, just call in and we'll get that question asked. Or you can call in 24 hours a day and just leave it on the voicemail. We'll get to it that way as well. Before we get to all the latest studies, and there sure is a passel of them, let's talk about the big news from last week, which was this hint from the DEA that they will give us an answer on what they might do when it comes to rescheduling marijuana. What is your take on that story? Do you think we're getting any good news?
I'm just not optimistic, Russ, and I feel bad even saying so, but the fact that we're getting so much hoopla about it and then getting all built up, I'm just worried that I'm going to end up disappointed. So it may be complete paranoia on my part, but I'm afraid we're not going to hear anything.
Yeah, it's a lot of people made, I keep seeing headlines and discussion about it, like the DEA is going to announce the rescheduling to Schedule 2. And I'm like, no, they're going to announce whether they made a decision. And if history is a judge, Normal has sued a couple times, ACE has sued a couple times. And every time we do these petitions, they come back and say, well, FDA says it's not medicine, so we can't say it and we can't do it. And that's where we'll be.
I mean, believe it or not, it even goes back to an old Tim Leary thing for the religious freedom times, too. I feel like every time it gets to them. They just don't want to be the ones to make the decision.
Yep. DEA doesn't want to do it. Congress doesn't want to do it. President doesn't want to do it. Everybody wants, nobody wants to do it but us, the people. So, but let's talk about,
we'll have to do it.
Yeah. Let's talk about the possibility though. If it were to happen and we were to reschedule to schedule two, what changes, what practical changes would that make for researchers like yourself and others that want to study cannabis?
I hate to say it, but it would still be a pretty grueling pain in the ass. So Schedule II drugs are known for still having high abuse potential, but they do have some documented medical use. And getting research on those, which, you know, ironically, cocaine is Schedule II for some of the intraocular surgery, some of the eye surgery that people use it for and things like that. And it's still super hard, a lot of red tape. You have to have a safe in your lab or special place where it's stored, and it's still a huge hassle. I would much rather see deschedule, taken off there entirely, because then it would be more of an open market. I'm afraid switching things to Schedule II is like a nice tip of the hat, and then they'll have an excuse to say, well, we already gave you something, run away. Mm.
Oh, boy. Well, let's get to some stuff that may be more uplifting. There was another story that got through the mainstream media, spread like wildfire. And this was, of course, aided by the celebrity of Whoopi Goldberg, who's announced that she's partnering with some old friends of ours to put together a product for women to deal with period pain, menstrual cramps, a cannabis-based product. Then there was reports, I saw some people poo-pooing this, saying, oh, there's not any real research or science behind that. So can you give us your take on marijuana for menstrual cramps and the potential of Whoopi's products?
So what's funny is my student, Melissa Slavin, who was on your show about the menopause data, has just gathered marijuana for menstrual cramps data. And at least on the self-report side, what a surprise, a subset of women claim it's better than anything, and another subset claim it's pretty good, and also point out some of the other sort of stereotypical PMS symptoms, including problems sleeping, irritability, and stuff like that. It's, you know, it's not going to help with dry vagina, but otherwise it looks like there really is some promise. We just need to get those data written up and out there. In the meantime, I think Whoopi's, you know, going to have plenty of people who are willing to try once and see, and it could go wild.
I'm looking forward to that. It's always disconcerting to me when I hear the attack of, well, there's not any research or science behind it. And we're like, yeah, we know. That's what we'd like to do. let's get to another story on the other side of the gender aisle. Marijuana may help treat male infertility. Dr. Mitch, I'm confused. They told me for so long that marijuana was going to kill my little wigglers. Now it's supposed to help?
I was pretty stunned by the headline myself. So back in the day, there was one study done by Gabriel Nahas, who was super down on cannabis. And he had eight guys stay in the hospital and smoke eight joints a day. And then sure enough claimed that their little wigglers were not wiggling as well as they should be. There's clearly something going on there with the CB2 receptor. And so there ought to be a way for this to work potentially in our own favor. THC may not be exactly the route, but at least we're seeing a chance for, if not the swimming part, the generating of new sperm might be stimulated by something along that cannabinoid route. So we'll have to wait and see.
All right. We have a question coming in from our chat room. Jackie Newbury wanted to know about this upcoming United Nations General Assembly special session and whether or not the things that happen there would have any effect on the DEA and their decision on rescheduling.
Well, so that was how Harry Anslinger got cannabis made illegal in the first place, was he went to this big international thing like this and promised that it would be illegal. And then when they came back here, he said, well, we already promised. So I got to admit, I had a dream about two nights ago that it did happen that way. And in truth, if the international pressures are off, it would give the DEA a chance to say, well, in that case, we'll just let the states decide and, you know, see what happens.
Looking forward. I really hope that has an effect. And we'll be out there in New York at the United Nations General Assembly. So stay tuned next week, Tuesday through Thursday, for our coverage. Another study is out. It says marijuana could help treat diabetes. This kind of falls in line with some of the research we've heard about BMI and pot smokers being somewhat healthier. What's your take?
Well, so in fact, I never really thought about this, and in part because cannabis induces such splendid enhancement of appetite. It had been a situation where people who, you know, didn't necessarily have the choices of snacks for diabetics around, this looked like a real problem. But as you've mentioned, the BMI data have replicated twice now, so folks who use cannabis tend to have basically lower body fat per their height, and the chance to sort of use this in line with that and suggest that endocannabinoids are really part of the balancing of that system makes certain sense. However, I don't think it's going to be as simple as just making sure you have lean proteins around every time you do a vaporizer hit. So we'll have to see how people react on their blood sugar when they're smoking, and if that's the case, we'll see if it could even out, essentially, or keep the peaks and valleys from getting too extreme. I think there's some potential there, but the work has to be done.
Have you thought about all this research that comes in on diabetes and eating and metabolism? A lot of this, at least I assume, is marijuana being smoked or vaporized. Has anyone considered, as edibles become more popular, and, you know, cookies and gummy bears and sugary treats, could there be a difference there? And maybe the edibles end up canceling out the good of the THC.
What's funny is, especially with that sugar, that would be the key thing. And I know one company was talking about trying to do a sugar-free lozenge, and I don't know what happened with that, but that may be the market to really climb on, because then you'd have that slow, steady-state absorption and could stay throughout the day. And if you're not adding sugar, it would have a lot of potential. I think we should call it the Russ Belville lozenge.
Yeah, I could use a few of those. been sitting on too many airplanes and not running on enough treadmills. Hey, before we run out of time, folks, I want to remind you that if you're shy and don't want to talk about your personal private business here on Live Talk Radio, you can always send your questions in by email, and Dr. Mitch will be glad to keep it private and discuss it with you personally. The email address is 420research@gmail.com, 420research@gmail.com. And if you really like this topic and want to know more about the scientific and medical aspects of cannabis, make sure you tune into Dr. Mitch's podcast here on cannabisradio.com. It's Burning Issues. And can you tell us about your latest episodes, maybe some of the highlights?
So there's a classic old one with Rick Steves that people should definitely listen to, if only to, you know, enjoy Rick Steves talking about how great things are. And then I just had Melissa Slavin on talking about cannabis and those menopause symptoms. We've also had, just a lot of different folks who are also on the show. So if they want to hear you, if they want to hear Kyle Cushman, it's interesting because, you know, when you're the host, you don't often end up being the person who gets asked the question. So I tried to make that an aspect of the show. I also do that last little segment, Self-Compassion and the Art of Activism. It's just about trying to make sure we all take good care of ourselves. And then the political director at Normal, Danielle Keene, we just posted her show. So she's sort of giving folks a feel for what it means to be political director at Normal and dropping some hints about the upcoming legislative lobby day.
All right. And we have one last question from our chat room. John Chambers wants to know, where does cottonmouth come from? Because not all weed strains seem to cause it.
My wife made a vagina joke out of this one time, and I wish I could remember it. But no, it goes all the way back to, I don't know if folks remember Gallagher, that comic.
Yeah.
I know he was one of the early users of it in popular culture, but I imagine it's sort of like 420, where everybody's got a legend about my brother's cousin's uncle made it up. And
how about that kind of thing. The phenomenon itself of having dry mouth, though? What's causing that?
Oh, well, what's curious is it even shows up after edibles with some strains. So I thought it was always smoke exposure, but it doesn't seem to be the case. And in part, the metabolizing THC and the cannabinoids does take water, and suddenly that's water you have less of for keeping your mouth dry.
Oh, so it's just a feature of metabolizing the THC.
It seems like that's the case, much like a side effect of, say, some of the antidepressant drugs or other medicines that folks use pretty often.
All right. Well, Dr. Mitch, thanks for joining us. Good luck on everything, and we'll talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it.
Bye. All right. Stay tuned. We got a radical rant next. Should non-tokers be in charge of regulating marijuana?
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing. So are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Dr. Dabber, hurry. Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct. Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
Cannabis Confidential with Dr. Dina. Candid.
I want to give you the inside story.
Captivating.
I want to introduce you to my kind and amazingly talented friends.
Compelling.
We get to meet some of the most amazing cannabis activists and warriors around.
Listen in as medical marijuana pioneer Dr. Dina shares never-before-heard stories, chats with cannabis insiders and celebrity friends, and provides invaluable perspective and insight into one of the fastest-growing industries in the world.
I want to share with you what was once confidential information. Let's expose the truth, discuss the issues, and learn the facts.
Cannabis Confidential, only on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I also believe we need a fence. The problem is if El Chapo builds a tunnel under the fence, we have to be able to deal with that too.
Okay. Maybe you're high too.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Well, today in the Radical Rant, I want to follow up on that story that was in our headlines, the story of Lori Ajax. Lori Ajax is the new California medical marijuana czar. Yeah, the Governor Brown and those MMRSA laws that have now regulated the medical marijuana industry in California, well, they now have this Bureau of Medical Marijuana, Bureau of Medical Marijuana Regulation, which is great, first of all, to have a separate bureau for that rather than having it under the control of, alcohol beverage control or something like that. But she used to be the chief deputy director of the Department of Alcohol Beverage Control, ABC, they call it in California and a lot of states. And as the head of this new bureau, the very first person they appoint to a brand new regulatory bureau for medical marijuana in California has never smoked pot. At least, yeah, she's never smoked pot. She says, quote, unlike regulating alcohol, I'm not a user of marijuana, so I'm not familiar with how that affects people or what it does. But from the outreach I've done since I got here, it appears there is a medical need, and I'm tasked with doing this, and I'm going to do it. And not only that, she's got no friends or relatives that use cannabis. I've heard stories, she says, and through my meetings with industry groups and legislators, I've heard stories of how it's helped people with cancer, end quote. Now, I'm not saying that you got to be a daily toker to run the Medical Marijuana Bureau. And I'm not saying you even have to be a medical marijuana patient to run the Bureau. But to have never used cannabis in your life and don't know anybody who uses cannabis in their lives, and being appointed the head of the bureau that's going to regulate medical cannabis, it got me scratching my head a little bit. It's one of them things that make you go, something that should be questioned. And if she was the fourth medical marijuana czar or the fifth or something, maybe then I'm not so concerned. But the first, you're going to step out of the gate and set precedent with all the initial regulations and decisions being made by someone who doesn't even know what marijuana does. Now, sure, you can be educated about it. Sure, you can read books and you can talk to people and get all the education in the world. But without that actual real world understanding, that personal understanding of cannabis and how it works, how can you not be swayed by stereotype and prejudice and misconception? Even the person with the best of intentions who discards prejudice, discards reefer madness, does research, talks to people, learns the science, gets the facts, even someone like that, without the personal experience of cannabis, doesn't really know what they're talking about. It reminds me somewhat. Remember that Rachel Dolezal case? The white woman up in Spokane who considers herself black and dresses and styles her hair black, but she's white. She's got white parents. She grew up in white culture, right? You remember that case. And she was the head of the Spokane ACLU, I think, or NAACP, I think it was. And of course, there was a big furor over this because she's white and she's running an NAACP. And that's not exactly the problem, because there are white people that run local heads of NAACPs around the country. Not a majority, not even a large minority, but there are a few that do. I'm not, again, not saying you couldn't run it, but without that real world experience, can you really, as Heinlein would say, grok what you're dealing with? Like, if we had someone who was in charge of LGBT relations, who was straight and had no gay friends, would that feel awkward? Would that be strange? If it was someone who was in charge of some sort of disability bureau or department, some sort of regulatory agency regarding disability, who was perfectly able-bodied and knew no one in their friends or family that was in a wheelchair or had any sort of disabilities, would they have the right perspective to do the best job? And it's not just California. I'm picking on Lori Ajax here because, well, she's a Republican and she used to run booze. So maybe I'm biased. I'm willing to admit. But this is not a singular case. In the state of Oregon and the state of Washington, our cannabis, our legal marijuana industries are regulated by liquor people. In Washington State, it was the Washington State Liquor Control Board, which got renamed the Liquor and Cannabis Board. But we're still talking about people whose primary background is liquor, who are either bar owners, bar distributors, brewers, lobbyists, somehow involved in the liquor world. In Oregon, it's the OLCC, the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. On that Oregon Liquor Control Commission, I followed them around. They had like state listening tour stops here in Oregon. And I followed them around and listened to their speeches. And at least 3 out of 5 of those people voted against marijuana legalization in this state. They openly admitted it. on their tours and in their speaking, right? They voted against marijuana legalization, and I don't believe any of them have ever smoked pot. Maybe Michael Harper. He was in the NBA. But still, I don't think any of them really smoke pot. So you got people that, and this is the other thing that concerns me even more so, is that people whose background is strong on alcohol bring exactly the wrong perspective to regulating marijuana. Somebody sent me from the chat room, they sent me a link to something Mark Kleiman was pointing out, and we'll be interviewing Mark Kleiman, and we'll talk more about this in hour two. But Mark Kleiman, who was Washington State's pot czar, is another one of these guys who made his bones by studying and dealing with the effects of alcohol as a social policy. And so they come to marijuana with all these inherent assumptions. One of Kleiman's inherent assumptions is that marijuana, if it's legal and it's an open market and the taxes are low, it'll become really cheap. And then more people will use that, and that will be bad. It's an inherent assumption, because he comes from the alcohol world where alcohol, the lower the alcohol taxes get, the more people drink. And yes, the more drinking that goes on does have a terribly deleterious effect on society, right? Yeah, more drunk driving, more absenteeism, more illness, more death. Yes, you can see the definite correlation there in alcohol taxation, alcohol ability, availability, alcohol advertising, and the negative effects. So he comes with that assumption, and also the presumption that the 80-20 rule, you know, 80% of the booze is drank by 20% of the drinkers. The alcohol industry must have heavy drinkers to survive. He brings that into marijuana. Ah, well, see, marijuana, just the same way, 80% of the marijuana in the legal states is consumed by 20% of the users. But that's not a surprise, because 80% of anything is consumed by 20% of something. The 80-20 rule works in just about every commodity there is. Regardless, the assumption that we got to keep the marijuana prices high, we got to keep the marijuana taxes high, we got to keep the marijuana availability difficult, because otherwise cheap available marijuana, more people would smoke it. I don't believe it necessarily follows that more people smoking cheap available marijuana automatically leads to more terrible social harm, because some of the benefits of marijuana are going to balance out some other social harms. More people smoking pot, less people drinking. That's a net good. More people smoking pot, less people taking opioid painkillers. That's a net good. More people smoking pot, less people using Ambien to get to sleep at night. That's a net good. So I don't think there's going to be the associated terrible effects we get from more alcohol use, because alcohol, again, is toxic and addictive. And that's the problem I've got with these alcohol regulators in California, Oregon, and Washington, the whole West Coast, and I think Alaska too. Isn't it there alcohol people running it in Alaska? I think I'm right on that. The whole West Coast, from Alaska to San Diego, their marijuana industry being run by people who bring alcohol assumptions and alcohol experience to the marijuana industry and have little to no experience with marijuana itself. I think if these boards, if it were a new board created and solely stocked with people with experience in the marijuana industry and experience using marijuana, we'd find a whole different set of regulations coming out and a whole different way of looking at this. These alcohol people regulating marijuana are going to apply strict regulation, try to keep the prices high, try to keep the availability low, and all that's going to do is enhance all the worst aspects we're trying to get rid of from prohibition. We're trying to end marijuana prices being so high that high school kids can make money dealing it in parking lots. That's one of the problems with it. Unfortunately, they don't understand, to get rid of the problems they think marijuana causes, the best solution, it might be counterintuitive to them, the best solution is to make marijuana as cheap and available as possible. We'll talk more in hour two about this. We gotta go. Hour one's up. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers. Hey, 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 hey.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.